Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Altmedia's Place in the Internet Age by Andrew Masterton. This is a Cosmos magazine article from January 2017. Celebrated science documentary maker Sonia Pemberton is inspired by new offerings that have sprung up on YouTube and Facebook. Since its release in 2015, Uranium, Twisting the Dragon's Tail, a three-part documentary made by Melbourne's Gene Pool Publications, has gathered a swag of distinctions, some of them more welcome than others. In September this year, the show, written by Wayne Femery and presented by Derek Muller, won the gong at the Best Long-Form Series at the prestigious Jackson Hole Science Media Awards held in Boston. After it was broadcast in the US, however, the production achieved another milestone. It became the most illegally downloaded film in PBS International's history, says Gene Pool, founder of the creative director, Sonia Pemberton. It's a dubious honour, but to Pemberton, it was an indication that the world of traditional science documentary makers and the upstart community of new breed internet-based science communicators were nowhere near as far apart as commonly thought. In one important sense, Uranium had a foot in both camps, commissioned and made as broadcast television. The three-parter was presented by Canadian-Australian host Muller, who's best known for presenting short, sharp science videos in his own YouTube channel, Veritasium. The panel boasts just shy of 4 million subscribers. Cross-promotion of Uranium between Veritasium and traditional broadcasters and Facebook phenomena, Effing Love Science, with 25 million fans, resulted in an unprecedented level of awareness of Pemberton's product. It also resulted in an unprecedented level of theft. It was not so much a problem, she says, as an opportunity. I'm sure some people are not happy about it, but I'm sure we've lost quite a lot of sales because of that. But in terms of encompassing a new media, I think it speaks for itself, she notes. The trick now is to learn from what we've discovered and apply it to the next shows. You don't leave that internet audience feeling left behind. They wanted the film and they wanted it right now. They didn't want to wait until next week. Experience presents the latest in a long series of learning opportunities for the Melbourne-based Pemberton, who has been making science-based televisions for 28 years. After graduating from university with a degree in film and television, she started her career in drama, rising quickly to the position of first assistant director on a number of shows. One of these, a series called Adventures of Kaithra, she met a cinematographer, Harry Pangiotidis, now her husband. Pangiotidis has credits for more than 40 Australian and international feature films. He has filmed many and co-produced all of Gene Pool's documentaries. After a couple of years, Pemberton, a doctor's daughter and epidemiologist granddaughter who had long been fascinated by science, took a sharp left turn and joined CSIRO as a filmmaker. She made 21 films, mostly for the use of veterinary science training. It was a period, she says, characterized by filming animals and ghastly diseases, which also provide invaluable training and insights. I was taught by scientists how to communicate science, she says. I brought the creative side of things, but they taught me how to take a proper analytical approach to material and how to communicate science to scientists. Since with the ABC and the BBC followed before, she stuck out on her own independent science docu-maker. When she first moved away from drama, many of her peers thought that she was making a mistake. Taking unconventional choices, though, seems to be something of a recurrent theme in Pemberton's career. In 2004, she was approached by the ABC to look after the science program Catalyst. And from there, she rapidly found herself promoted to powerful, if awkwardly titled, Head of Specialist Factual. The elevation made her one of the most powerful people in Australian television. But there, after 3 years at Auntie's HQ in Ultimo, Sydney, she opted to head back to Melbourne. Again, some observers thought that was a strange decision, but she had never regretted it. In part, she up sticks because she was missing her family but the move was also motivated by professional concerns. I loved having the potential to fund other people's work, she says, but I missed making science films. It suits my temperament to be able to think deeply about every frame, every word of a film. And when you're a commissioning role, you just can't do that. A few years ago, she entered into a joint venture with Australia's largest independent film television house, Cordell Jigsaw Zapruder, and Gene Pool Productions was born. The company has since produced a raft of startling and acclaimed documentaries, including Jabbed, The Love Affair with Vaccines, which is titled Vaccines Calling the Shots, picked up by Jackson Hole Award of the Best Science Journalism. A three-part miscellany called Tales of the Unexpected, a documentary about the science of aging, immortal, and catching cancer, a revealing look at the role of bacteria and viruses in arteriology of cancers. Along the way, Pemberton and her collaborators have awarded a huge haul of accolades, including an Emmy. Pemberton has been declared a Health Journalist of the Year twice and picked up the unprecedented 5 Eureka Awards for Science Journalism. Despite the widespread doom and gloom concerning the decline and division of contemporary media, the tendency of some political leaders to ditch science fiction, Pemberton remains extremely optimistic about the potential for science television documentaries. The key, she says, is finding ways to engage constructively with short-form online successes such as Veritasium and IFL Science. This is about shared communities generating scientific curiosity, she says. Her association with Derek Muller continues. She communicates often with IFL creator Elsie Andrews. There are, she says, many points of convergent interest between the broadcast and internet scientific realms. So what are they interested in, and how do documentary filmmakers sustain an audience of 30, 60 or 90 minutes? And what I'm interested in is their reach, their millions of subscribers, she says. They are different kinds of modalities thinking about science communication. I don't think they are mutually exclusive, and nor do I feel the slightest bit threatened or nervous about it. I see the challenge of working with them to be able to do the deep dive and the long form in the ways that mean we can collaborate. Pemberton believes that there are a number of critical intellectual and ethical values that are common to all decent scientific communications, regardless of the medium. Integrity matters. Bias must be constantly checked. Brevity is key, and above all, the result must be useful. I think of myself as a curiosity entrepreneur sometimes. What I'm trying to do is get people interested in science, and these people are already doing it, and doing it really well with the younger demographic and reaching widely, she says. Young people perceive what we do as old school, and so they should. It's entirely appropriate that we should be regarded as old media, but there's nothing wrong with books, and that's also old media. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.